Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm recording the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, March 9th, 2023. Bond projects in the works at FSISD by Nathan Hewer. The Fort Stockton ISD bond funds have been put to use in a rapid manner since the past November and May election. More significant renovations and additions to the district will be occurring in the months ahead. The Fort Stockton ISD unanimously approved the purchase of new weight room equipment and flooring for the girls' weight room at the high school campus in the amount of $146,000 at their regular meeting on February 27th. The project is the first approved addition that will be paid for by funds that derive from Bond Proposition B, Athletic Bond, which was approved by voters during the November election. When I first got here and walked the facilities, I asked Dr. Zamora about the girls' weight room that really needed to be upgraded, and he was all for it, Athletic Director Jeremy Hickman said. I'm so glad that the bond passed, so we were able to get them a top-of-the-line weight room, something that the Prowlers can be proud of. The girls' weight room additions are the beginning of many projects ahead in the athletic department. Hickman reported that he is in negotiations to get the high school football field and track redone before the beginning of fall football camps, pending school board approval. The project, which will cost approximately $2 million, will feature a blue track that has an added eighth lane and gray exchange zones. The field would feature matrix helix turf and cushioning underneath that provides top-end impact protection. We're putting in a cush padding underneath it, so it's going to be top of the line. We're paying a little extra to put that in there for impact protection. In addition to the high school field, the middle school field will potentially change from a grass to turf field and add new LED lighting. If approved by the board, the project timeline will align with the high school field. Hickman and Superintendent Zamora noted that the items will be potentially up for approval at the March board meeting. Outside of the athletic projects that are in the works, the Fort Stockton ISD will soon receive significant additions to their transportation fleet and new laptops for teachers at all campuses. Bond funds approved in last May's election will be used towards the laptops. $600,000 worth of upgraded and improved laptops will be here before the next school year, because it's that time that the teacher laptops and the district laptops are coming out of their lease this summer. We're looking to order some high-speed laptops to replace the existing ones. The six buses that will be added to the district's fleet are scheduled to be delivered by April after numerous delays due to supply chain issues. That 14-passenger non-CDL bus was approved for purchase in May of 2022. The cost for the six buses totaled over $476,000. Moving forward, Zamora noted that additional security upgrades and the renovation of playgrounds at both elementary schools, including the addition of turf, are in the works. There is going to be money spent on upgrading transportation, staff laptops, already being spent on upgrades to security and putting together the upgrades to cameras. We're spending just as much, if not more, in the other areas when you look at transportation, technology, security, demolition of Comanche. The priority has and always will be security, and we did so even before the bond passed. Convenient, Safe Storage Solutions at WTI Storage by Sean Yorks. Joe Auer is a frequent traveler between his home near Austin and areas of Colorado and was looking for an opportunity to buy a storage business somewhere in West Texas. Fort Stockton turned out to be the perfect spot. Auer spent a year learning about the self-storage business and made sure he wanted to do it, then spoke to several self-storage owners in the area, including Fort Stockton business owner Gene Michael DeForet. Once I got convinced I wanted to do it, I wanted to make sure I did a good job. So I just tried to learn as much as possible. I got a mentor who kind of held my hand through the process, and now I think I know what I'm doing. DeForet operated WTI Storage just north of town on the Monahans Highway, as well as the historic Gray Mule Winery Saloon in downtown Fort Stockton, and Auer reached out to him. I just reached out to him, and he was willing to come to an agreement with me, and here I am today. I talked to a number of different storage owners, and Michael was just great, and it seemed to naturally just kind of work out that way. Auer is setting up his new business to be as efficient and convenient as possible, to make it not just easy for me, but easy for a customer to get signed up and not have to call someone and have them come out and meet them and coordinate times. Everything is handled online. Either call or you can sign up online and you'll get a gate code specific to you. Once signed up, paid, and have a gate code, go to your assigned unit and there will be green lock on the unit. Reach out to the call center for the combination, and once the lock is removed, drop it in a drop box provided at the site. All communication is done automatically through email and occasionally text message as well, said Auer, who added that the response so far has been positive. The site is isolated, but not far from town, and is secure, which Auer said makes the property unique. The entire property is fenced. You can't get in without a code, and security cameras are in operation 24/7. Auer will also have maintenance patrol the area once a week, and Auer himself will make frequent trips to Fort Stockton. Michael did a great job with the construction, Auer said, adding that Michael constructed the buildings in 2019. I just want to kind of add to the efficiency, automation side to it, just to make everyone's life easier. We try to make it as secure as possible, and we're just trying to check the boxes of what I think people want. It's perfect for those who don't want to interact with people and just want an affordable and secure place to store their belongings. If you never wanted to talk to anyone ever, you're just the kind of person, you can just sign up online, get a gate code, get a combo to your green lock, put it in, and never have to talk to anyone. WTI Self-Storage is located at 1164 West 47th, about 3 miles north of Fort Stockton off State Highway 18. For more information, visit WTIStorage.com or call 432-309-4933. Park Renovations Continue by Sean Yorks. Work is continuing the revitalization of Gene Cummings Park, and the latest is the purchasing of irrigation equipment for water reclamation, bathroom improvements, and pavilion renovations, approved by the Fort Stockton 4B Economic Development Corporation at its February meeting. A public hearing on the item was without opposition. The irrigation equipment has been in the works for the past year as part of a water reclamation system for the existing Spray Park. The EDC will spend up to $250,000 on the equipment. EDC Director Remy Ramos is hoping to have the system installed prior to the summer season to have everything in place and not have to close the park mid-season to install it. If it's not ready by the summer season, we will have to wait until the fall. The irrigation system, pavilion, and bathroom upgrades are the latest in the EDC's long-term plans for the park. We'll be doing it in phases over the next year. Basketball courts, an 1,800-foot walking trail, and Memorial Garden have already been completed. The courts and covered pavilion are adjacent to the sand volleyball courts at the park. The pump system will catch water from the splash park, pump it into a holding tank, and at night, the water from the holding tank will be spread throughout the park with the new irrigation system that was approved last month. The park will be watered as much as needed because it will be using reclaimed water. County Hears Stats Update from Lancium by Sean Yorks. Pecos County Commissioner's Court heard an update on the status of the Lancium facility at its February 27th meeting and discussed amendments to the Chapter 381 Economic Development Agreement between the company and the county. The 110-acre campus is located just northwest of Fort Stockton off the Pecos Highway and is billed as a large-scale flexible data center that is home to Bitcoin mining hosting as well as other applications. Lancium's Jason Marshall said the facility went online last year. "We've enjoyed about a year and a half working in the city, and we've made some progress," Marshall said. "It's a real state-of-the-art facility. Doesn't look like anything like a data center you're accustomed to. It looks like an airplane hangar. That's an extremely tough shelter. It's already withstood several West Texas windstorms." Lancium Compute, located at the Fort Stockton facility, is carbon-neutral cloud computing, which enables high-volume HTC computation for the sciences and engineering that, in many cases, provide a lower TCO than on-premise resources. The facility is currently dedicated to Bitcoin mining. "The only thing that's given us any hiccups, whatever, there is the cryptocurrency market that started to fall last year. That's our customer base. Lancium is not a cryptocurrency mining company. We build facilities for people who are dealing with electricity and control that with our software." Marshall said that ERCOT has curtailed the facility as far as the 300-megawatt allocation, saying they have a contract with Texas New Mexico Power for the 300-megawatt, but ERCOT is doing studies to see if they allow that much electricity to go through and can handle the extra load and have the backup. "That's their study, and that's their burden, but they have not been able to commit to us the 300-megawatt. We have gone ahead and built the 300-megawatt substation. The ERCOT studies and the Bitcoin crash are the reason for the delay and why the facility has not been built out yet. That's why we're here, to see if we can get some assistance on the tax." Judge Schuster asked Marshall if he had a forecast for when ERCOT might be receptive, and Marshall said no. "I know from looking at our construction schedule, if they gave us the go-ahead in March, we would be able to get at least 200 of the 300 megawatt installed by the end of the year," Marshall said. "Negotiating with ERCOT is a little bit like negotiating with a large country. They don't do it very quickly because they've got a lot at stake, and it doesn't help that ERCOT, a couple of years ago, became a four-letter word in the state of Texas. We wanted them to come in and give you guys what they're trying to do and their commitment to it," EDC Director Ramey Ramos told the court. "Building this 300-megawatt substation, they're committed to the project. Just can't power the project so far to build the project." Lancium will work with the county attorney and commissioner's court to draft proposals of the new agreement and present it to the court in 30 days. Your guide to local places to go and things to do. The second annual Spring Fest will take place on Saturday, March 11th, starting at 1:30. The Big Bend Fix will take place on Saturday, March 11th through Monday, March 12th. Next week's Community Lenten Luncheon will be on Tuesday, March 14th from 11:45 to 1 at First Methodist Church. The event is hosted by the First Methodist Church, First Christian Church, and Faith Lutheran. The Prowler Softball hosts their first district home game of the season against Pecos on Friday, March 17th. Varsity is at 5 and JV follows at 6:30. The Comanche Springs Rodeo is scheduled to take place Thursday, March 23rd through Saturday, March 25th. Tickets are available to purchase at the Fort Stockton Chamber of Commerce or online at csrodeo.com. The Panther baseball team's next home game will be on Friday, March 24th against Seminole, JV at 4 and varsity at 7. Dear Editor, I believe most of us Americans have had enough. The Social Security Act we imposed on us by Franklin D. Roosevelt. In 1935, he created Social Security, a safety net for elderly, unemployed, and disadvantaged Americans. The main stipulation of the original Social Security Act was to pay financial benefits to retirees over age 65 based on lifetime payroll tax contributions. The Act also established the Social Security Board, which later became the Social Security Administration, to structure the Social Security Act and figure out the logistics of implementing the system. He also said that part of this implementation was because he didn't feel that Americans were saving enough to prepare themselves for retirement. But as you know, our sorry government has decided among themselves to tell us how much of our money we paid in to give us back each month, which to me is a joke. Each individual that paid his or her share of that tax should tell our government how much they wish to receive for them to live on per their living requirements, per their monthly needs, not the government. It's our money we paid in, not theirs, per President Roosevelt's intention. It amazes me how our crooked politicians can come up with billions of dollars to give to other countries in need and outrage stupid programs in this country of ours, but they can't see to find billions of dollars they've stolen from our Social Security system to put back in that system to help our elderly and disabled like it was designed. I myself am totally sick. Below is an excerpt from an article I found and wish you all will read. Dear Mr. President, I heard you say you would not guarantee Social Security checks if the debt ceiling isn't raised. Why is it the scare always has to do with SS, our soldiers' pay, and Medicare? Why not stop your pay, your staff's pay, or Congress? Let's hold the paychecks of all House and Senate members and see how fast they resolve this mess. Signed, Ron Roller, Fort Stockton.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahan's News for Thursday, March 2nd. Student, age 12, charged with making threats toward Parkway over Facebook. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A 12-year-old boy was charged after he allegedly sent a threat via Facebook to conduct a shooting at his elementary school early Tuesday morning. Authorities were alerted to the threat on Tuesday morning around 2 a.m. after the department received a public service call from the Lander Police Department in reference to a possible school shooting. Quote, "We received the message from Lander Police about the post on Facebook and immediately sent officers to investigate," Monahan's Police Department Captain Stormy Laws said. The post read, quote, "I'm going to shoot up Parkway Elementary at 12. Be ready, Parkway. If school's canceled, I'm still going to go and shoot," along with several profanities, Laws added. Officers Justin Abila and Sean Enlow were able to get the coordinates of the origin of the post on Facebook, which led them to the suspect's residence located in the 400 block of North Carroll. Abila and Enlow made contact with the suspect's parents, Berta Hernandez and Jose Esquivel, both of Monahan's. Quote, "The officers explained what happened to the parents and told them the post originated from their address," Laws said. The parents told officers their 12-year-old son was a fifth-grade student at Parkway Elementary and there has been no immediate changes in his behavior. Quote, "By all accounts, he was a good student, and the teachers at Parkway liked him and always had nice things to say about him," Laws added. The parents were asked if the suspect had immediate access to the social media networking site Facebook. Laws said, "The parents said the 12-year-old did have a cell phone with Facebook, and they took possession of the phone at night, although they did not take the phone from the suspect on Monday night," end quote. Hernandez allowed officers to view the child's phone, where they did find the account used to make the threat. Quote, "The account logged in on the phone was not under his name, but it was open to it on the phone, and he had access to make changes to the page," Laws said. The 12-year-old and his father were both transported to the police station, where he was formally charged with terroristic threat and exhibition use or threat of exhibition use of a firearm, both third-degree felonies. The juvenile was released to the custody of Ward County Juvenile Probation. Superintendent of Schools Chad Smith said he became aware of the threat around 6:45 a.m. Tuesday morning. Quote, "Since the suspect was apprehended, there was no immediate danger to the students, and school was able to resume on normal schedule," he said. Smith added, "The district had an increased security presence at Parkway during the school day on Tuesday." Quote, "We have a great partnership with local law enforcement agencies who do frequent school walks through every day at all of our campuses and as often as they can," he added. The district sent a message out to parents on Tuesday morning around 7:15 a.m. via the Remind app, which read, "MWPISD is aware of a threat that was made against Parkway Elementary sometime in the early morning hours. The individual who made the threat on social media has been picked up by the Monahans Police Department and is now in custody. The campus is safe, and we will have a great day," end quote. Smith added, "The child will not be allowed to return to Parkway Elementary, but rather continue his education at an alternate location for a predetermined amount of days. It was not clear as of press time what punishment the 12-year-old suspect could face if found guilty." Hospital suffering staff shortage of qualified help. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. The Ward Memorial Hospital Board of Managers met in regular session on Thursday in the Physical Therapy Cardiac Unit boardroom. A quorum was established and the past meeting minutes were approved, as well as recognized absent board managers Jeff Burdick and Lisa Stewart. On the meeting agenda was to consider and act upon a contract with Vital Health for the recruitment of hospital staff. Quote, "We are suffering from a staff shortage. It is hard to find qualified help, as all smaller hospitals are experiencing. It is very difficult for the smaller hospitals to compete with the larger hospital district in the area of salaries. The larger hospitals can offer more money and therefore draw qualified staff away from the smaller local hospitals. So we have to expand our search area outside of our local district, and that's where companies like Vital Health, who acts as a recruiter, come into play," Ward Memorial Hospital Administrator and CEO Leticia Rodriguez said. The hospital submits staff openings and job requirements to Vital Health, along with a $22,500 placement fee, and they find qualified job candidates. They check backgrounds, education, resumes, etc. The recruited candidates' names and information are then turned over to the hospital for contact. Hospital managers approved hiring Vital Health for recruitment. In other business, manager Frank Heslin reported he had received a link to the online self-assessment exercise the board managers had voted to participate in a few meetings ago. Quote, "I will send the link to each of you. We have until March 16th to complete the questionnaire and return it for evaluation. A team of board management experts will evaluate each individual's answers and will return suggestions for areas of improvements," Heslin said. Other agenda items considered and acted on during regular business were the budget amendments and financials. Present for the meeting were Ward County Hospital Board Managers Frank Heslin, Angel Fuentes, Gerald Carlson, John Fawcett, Mickey Mitchell, and Administrator Leticia Rodriguez. The hospital board meets every first and third Thursday of the month at 6:15 p.m. Anyone who would like to address the board about any concerns needs to contact Administrator CEO Leticia Rodriguez at 943-2511 extension 176 to explain their concern and ask to be placed on the next board meeting agenda. The next board meeting is scheduled for March 9th at 6:15 p.m. at the Ward County Physical Therapy Cardiac Unit Boardroom at 420 South Ike Street. Carrillo given 10 years in prison for stabbing father. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Monahans man will spend the next 10 years in prison after accepting responsibility to stabbing his father last November. Adrian Carrillo, age 37, of 305 North Dwight, appeared in front of 143rd Judicial District Judge Mike Swanson on February 21st and waived his right to a jury trial and accepted a plea agreement by pleading guilty to a charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. Carrillo was arrested on November 6th after authorities were called to a residence he shares with his father in reference to a disturbance. When officers arrived, they entered the residence and found the suspect and his father, Tomas Ocon Garcia, in another room with Garcia covered in blood. Garcia was later transported to Ward Memorial Hospital, then airlifted to Odessa to be treated for injuries he sustained during the attack. Carrillo was indicted on the charge by the 143rd Ward County Grand Jury on December 8th. Carrillo was also facing charges on another aggravated assault against his father related to an incident on March 24th when officers were called to the residence he shared with his father for an active assault. Officers spoke to the victim, Garcia, who said he was in a verbal altercation with the suspect, his son, and during the altercation, Carrillo retrieved a shovel and struck him with it. Assistant District Attorney Alan Nicholas said, quote, "The charges pertaining to the case in March have been dismissed due to the responding officer resigning from the department and based on a request from the MPD." End quote. Along with the 10 years confinement in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, Carrillo was further assessed court costs of $498 and given credit for 108 days time served. Randy Reynolds served as attorney for the state on the case. Amended solicitor ordinance approved, general election nixed. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. City council members met on Tuesday for their regularly scheduled meeting, and after establishing a quorum and approving previous minutes, the council approved the second and final readings of an amended ordinance regarding solicitors and an ordinance to reduce the speed limit on Highway 18. The first ordinance up for approval was Ordinance 1306, amending Chapter 20 of the Code of Ordinances, Peddlers and Solicitors. The change in the ordinance was addressed after several constituents approached Councilman Jeppy Wilson and Calvin Carroll regarding an out-of-town church group soliciting money at the corner of Seeley and Main Streets, City Manager Rex Thee told the council. The city does have a permitting plan in place regarding solicitors and vendors, which requires them to fill out an application detailing who they represent, where they will sell, and what product is being sold. The amended ordinance clearly defines what a solicitor is, the purpose for the funds, and the exemption for religious, nonprofit, or charitable organizations has been removed, meaning they will have to go through application process too, he said. Also, the amended ordinance makes it illegal to solicit funds in the roadways. They must remain on the shoulder or sidewalk, cannot enter the roadway, obstruct traffic, create a hazard, or stand in the median. Quote, "There is an exception for members of the Monahans Volunteer Fire Department to conduct their annual Fill the Boot campaign, Thee added. The next ordinance up for council approval on second reading was to reduce the speed on South Highway 18, south of Interstate 20, along a 3.6-mile stretch. The 0.8-mile part of South Highway 18, which is inside city limits, is approximately from 25th Street to 36th Street, but the speed limit change will carry on past the city limits for an additional 2.5 miles and was submitted on behalf of TxDOT. TxDOT recently conducted several speed studies along this stretch of road, and according to the data received, TxDOT has decided to lower the speed limit from 55 miles per hour to 50 miles per hour. TxDOT will be responsible for installing and changing all the speed limit signs. The second and final readings of both ordinances were approved. Along with Thee, Mayor Adam Steen, and council members Jeppy Wilson, Calvin Carroll, Richard Hawkins, Ivy Valenzuela, and City Attorney Justin Till were all present. Councilman Rudy Hernandez was absent. In other business, the council approved election-related items, such as acknowledging unopposed candidates for the May 6th general election. This year, District 2 and 3 council seats, as well as the mayor, were all up for re-election. Currently, Jeppy Wilson represents District 2, and Calvin Carroll represents District 3. The council also approved canceling the election, since none of the seats up for election this year were opposed. Quote, "This is only canceling the general election and not the special election, which will still be held on May 6th, Thee said. The election will ask voters to answer for or against the question to legalize the legal sale of all alcoholic beverages, including mixed beverages, and to approve the 7 amendments to the city charter. In first readings, the council approved adopting a new code of ordinances. Thee explained, quote, "It's not exactly a new code of ordinances, rather just cleaning and tightening up the ordinances, cleaning up language, and making them more up-to-date. Once on the website, the ordinances will be more user-friendly and easier to navigate and read." The City Council meets every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 3 p.m. Anyone wanting to address the City Council on the topics addressed in this story or any other topic may do so by asking to be added to the meeting agenda in the City Secretary's office located inside City Hall or by appearing at the meeting during the public comment section of the meeting, which is on every agenda. The council will meet again on March 14th in the council chambers at City Hall, located at 112 West 2nd Street at 3 p.m. The meeting is open to the public. Commissioners renew contract with AirMedCare, purchase loader. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. The contract with AirMedCare Network to provide air transport for medical necessity was renewed when the Ward County Commissioners met in regular session on Monday morning. Ward County Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelms presided over the meeting in the absence of Ward County Judge Greg Holly. Transport for any county resident must be from a pickup location in Ward County or picked up from Reeves County Hospital in Pecos for the benefit of the residents in the western part of the county. AirMedCare will bill the patient's health insurance and no further out-of-pocket will be required. If the patient is uninsured, that person will be billed at the Medicare allowable rate. Ward County will pay $68,000 for the annual contract, which is the same as last year. The agreement is valid for 1 year from the time AirMedCare receives the signed agreement and payment. Additionally, county residents may purchase a household upgrade to cover transport from anywhere served by the Air Medcare network. Cost for the additional coverage is $45 for the standard rate, or $35 for seniors. Quote, "This is a service that is needed by our community, and we can help make the service available," Nelms said. In other business, Nelms asked for the court's approval on the purchase of a new Caterpillar loader. Quote, "The one we have been using for years is shot. It is worn out, but they agreed to take it in trade," Nelms said. Caterpillar's sales agreement is for a $930 million Caterpillar for government road construction and maintenance. The sell price is listed as $257,000 with a $35,000 allowed trade-in, making the cost of the new loader $222,000 after taxes were added. The county paid cash for the new loader. Another item on the agenda was approving a request by Waterbridge to lay a 6-inch water line under County Road 120. County Road 120 is in Commissioner Nelms Precinct 4. The commissioners approved the request. Ellen Fryer asked the court to consider declaring a plat printer in the county clerk's office as salvage and selling it to Van Zandt County for the sum of $1. Van Zandt County officials offered to come to the courthouse to pick up the machine. The commissioners agreed to the sale of the plat machine for $1. Fryer also asked the commissioners for approval to declare an older laminating machine as salvage and authorize its disposal, which they did. The commissioners also approved the payment of county bills. Ward County Hospital Administrator and CEO Leticia Rodriguez reviewed the hospital's financial reports for the commissioners. Hospital CEO Rodriguez submitted pay raises for existing staff. The raises needed to be approved by the commissioners because they need to be effective now, which is after the budget has already been set. The court gave the approval for the raises. In other regular business, the commissioners gave approval to the officers' reports, the county and hospital budget amendments, and approved the paying of the county's bills. Present at the meeting were Precinct 1 Commissioner Tino Sanchez, Precinct 2 Commissioner Larry Hanna, Precinct 3 Commissioner Dexter Nichols, and Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelms. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be March 13th at 9:30 a.m. in the Ward County Courthouse, 400 South Allen. Individuals who would like to address the court to ask questions or inform the commissioners of problems in their precinct or Ward County can call Judge Greg Holly at 432-943-3209, discuss their question or concern, and ask to be placed on the agenda for the next commissioners' meeting.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.